having spent a fair bit of my life growing up in KwaZulu-Natal, schooling in Maritzburg and a year at Maritzburg University, I know all about the excitement of the Comrades Marathon. It's something that has the attention of all the runners in South Africa and many other parts of the world as well. But there's a very unhappy situation happening at the moment to this very famous race. We're going to talk to Stuart Mann, who is deep inside the running community. He is a very well-known blogger with a wonderful nom de plume of The Running Man. He'll be bringing us up to date on exactly what's going on at the Comrades Association and who the individuals are who are causing such ructions. Stuart, thanks for joining me. Perhaps we can kick off at the beginning. I got an email from my good friend Rory Steyn, who is a green number in the Comrades. I don't know what that means, but I guess it is something important. Could you just unpack that for us?
Yeah, green numbers are very important. A green number means you've successfully completed the Comrades Marathon 10 times, and you get your own permanent green number. That's yours for life. And actually death as well, so you keep it after you die, so no one else can take it, and it's definitely worn as a badge of honor amongst the running community.
Now, for those of us who haven't participated in the race, it is famous. We've watched it on television. It's something that is in the national consciousness, but where does it all come from? Maybe give us a nutshell, where the Comrades Marathon started.
Well, it started in 1921 by a guy called Vic Clapham, who was a soldier, essentially to commemorate fallen comrades from the First World War. And it was a fairly small event until sort of the 70s. It started picking up and slowly growing. And then eventually it exploded, and it's by far the largest ultramarathon in the world. So there are very, very few ultramarathons that get over 1,000 finishes. Nearly all of the ones that do are in South Africa, and most of the other ones are because people are training for the Comrades Marathon. So, so you've got over 20,000 people, participating these years. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible from all walks of life. It's a great leveler. It's just a phenomenal South African event, and something that's totally unique in world sport. In fact, I think at the last sort of 5 or 10 minutes of Comrades before the final cutoff is the most watched sporting event in the world where non-professionals are involved. Just absolutely incredible event.
And what's going on at the moment that is causing so much unhappiness amongst those people who are so passionate about the race?
So, yeah, essentially you've got a Comrades board, and they're supposed to be the custodians of this great event, looking after it, for the history and the traditions, as well as for the runners, current and future. Unfortunately, all evidence points to the fact that there are at least 4 board members who are corrupt and working in their own self-interest against the interests of the race. In some cases, there's deliberate sabotage. In some cases, corruption. In some cases, it's just incompetence and ineptitude. And really what's happening now is that they've been found out, and they are trying to cling on to power, and doing absolutely everything, against the interests of the race, the running community, and making some, really, really dubious decisions, trying to hang on to their board seats.
And what's the running community doing about it?
So there's been a special general meeting called. So there were two big catalysts that happened. The one was, Anne Ashworth came in as race and operations manager, this just called race manager for short, after Rowan James resigned after the 2023 event, which was full of controversy. By all accounts, and the running community had a consensus, she did an absolutely fantastic job elevating the performance and the race day experience for runners. And later in June, she was essentially fired. So much to the surprise of everyone, suddenly you've got someone who's doing a great job. There's consensus. The sponsors agreed as well. Fantastic. As a race manager, you're trying to keep the runners happy. You're trying to keep the sponsors happy. If they're both very, very happy, your job should be secure. Unfortunately for Ashworth, that wasn't the case. And in just around the same time, what happened was one of the board members, essentially a racist WhatsApp message was leaked. That also then erupted in a social media storm. The Comrades board, they decided not to suspend their board member for the racist message. And according to the constitution of the Comrades Marathon Association, if 25 members can call a special general meeting, and that's exactly what happened. In fact, it was a lot more than 25, and you probably could have got a lot more if they really wanted to, but a special general meeting was called, and that is set to take place tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And in the run-up to that, there's been all sorts of dirty tricks by those in power. So essentially, KZN Athletics, who've got a seat on the board of Comrades, they have essentially issued an edict, which is illegal, totally illegal and unlawful, that out-of-province CMA members, Comrades Marathon Association members, they're allowed to attend, but they're not allowed to speak and they're not allowed to vote. So, yeah, I mean, that's just obviously, it's just blatant gerrymandering and totally illogical. And the logic by which they claim to do this is totally flawed as well.
Just give us an understanding of why this would be important. How many of the CMA members are from out of province?
It's hard to get an official figure because I've tried to work it out. So I did get some information from various sources in writing the articles, but I don't have the exact current. If I had to estimate, there's probably about 1,200 CMA members, which is the largest ever. A lot of that has been driven off the there has been a drive for additional membership. And that has been the drive for membership has not been targeted at one specific race, because that's what the Comrades Board will no doubt try to argue. Just as an illustration of this, it was made very prominent at Comrades registration, trying to get all runners to register. So there's all runners and to up the numbers. Of those 1,200, about 210 are what looks to be as bust-in and bought votes. So these are votes that are paid for in bulk. It's about 100 rand a year to join. These are paid for in bulk out of the community marshals portfolio, which essentially, by all accounts, looks to be exploiting the poor and exploiting impoverished communities, essentially buying votes on their behalf and then using them to keep people in power. Of the remaining, let's say 1,000, my best guess would be it's probably about 40% out of town, out of province, and with some international. Might be slightly more, might be slightly less, but that's probably about the right ratio.
So those 40% who live outside of KZN, presumably quite a few of them are going to attend the special general meeting, which, just for those who are picking up this interview later, is on Thursday, the 15th of August, and they won't be allowed to vote, even though they pay for their air tickets and so on. Or let's just put that on the side, because I think really the point here is, who are these guys? How do they get into a position of such power? Are these really good runners? Is Bruce Fordyce amongst the on the board member, for instance? And what gives them the incentive to retain power at just about any cost?
Yes, so I guess it's a variety of people that are there. Some of them are current runners. Some of them are former runners. Some of them have never run. So now, why someone who's never, ever run would want to be and deserves to be on the board of the Comrades Marathon is that no association for it? Well, that's obviously questionable. As for why they would want to stay on, So the board membership is not a paid position, but obviously there is access to certain things, and there definitely looks to be skimming off the top. There's also, particularly if you look at the community marshals portfolio, one of the reasons why Anne Ashworth believes she was fired is she tried to put proper governance in there and traceability of payments. So it's all done in cash. She tried to put in, just normal accepted accounting practices and payment practices, which was vociferously resisted. There's access to money, but there's also contracts and things like that. I don't have the resources to do a financial forensic audit, but I expect that if someone did, they would probably find lots of connections to contracts to certain board members as well. That would be my expectation. And I mean, just to be clear, this is not a recent, this is probably not recent. If I was writing this article, right now, the four board members who are implicated, they are black South Africans. If I was writing this 10 or 15 years ago, it would have been white South Africans I'd be writing about. So I have heard that from people who've been there a long time. So it's not a recent thing. I think just now it's been blown out and exposed in the open. And I think actually the firing of Anne Ashworth has caused the catalyst for people to question, well, why was she fired? It doesn't make logical sense. And, you know, people like myself started digging a bit, and you just uncover just more and more, you know, yeah, just really, really bad practices and ethical practices that everyone knows about. I mean, that's the thing, is it's been going on for years. It's probably been getting worse. But, you know, you ask around various sources associated with comrades, staff members and so on, and they'll all tell you, yeah, this is exactly what happens.
So why has nothing been done about it until this point, do you think?
It's very difficult to say. You know, I don't have the exact context of the discussions and things, but I know certain things have been raised directly to the board. They appear to have been swept under the carpet and ignored, particularly the race organizing committee is made up of volunteers. Most of them have been there a long time. They've raised various concerns and just been flat out ignored or otherwise given mistruths or half-truths as explanations that it appears. Yeah, I'd probably expect some of the stuff maybe slowly escalates and people get away with stuff and they get more and more brazen and so on. And also, it probably appears that the good and the decent board members that are there, I don't know whether they lack a backbone or they just don't have the right support. But yeah, there's been no evidence that, you know, of you know, people, you know, putting their hand up and standing up for on the side of ethics and good practice and, you know, actually standing up for the race.
Stuart, what's going to happen next?
So there's a today at 2 o'clock. There is a High Court interdict, which will be taken to overturn the KZNA decree. So I understand it's against KZNA and CMA.
What's KZNA?
KZNA KwaZulu-Natal Athletics. Okay, so they are essentially, that's where the decree came from, that out of town or out of province members can't speak or vote. The CMA basically said, oh, KZNA, KwaZulu-Natal Athletics is above us, so we just sit back and we will just take whatever they tell us, which is obviously nonsense, but that's what they've said. My understanding is that the Comrades Marathon Association are not opposing so they're saying they're not opposing the High Court hearing, but KwaZulu-Natal Athletics are. So that's happening at 2 o'clock today. I would be astounded if the KwaZulu-Natal Athletics decision is not overturned. So I'm expecting that out of province, CMA members will be allowed to attend and to vote and to speak. Also bearing in mind that the announcement came out on Monday. So you've got Thursday, you've got the actual SGM. Yeah, the timing of it, trying to do it, as you said earlier, you know, people have spent lots of money. They've booked accommodation. Some people are driving down. Some people have booked flights. Apparently, there's even someone coming in from the UK. Feel so strongly about the future of the Comrades Marathon. They're flying all the way from the UK, especially for so that they can vote at the SGM.
And then the special general meeting where all of these interested parties are going to be getting together. What are they hoping to achieve? People like Rory Steyn and the Green Number grouping, and he tells me over 100 of them will be there.
So there's a few items that are on the agenda, and the agenda can't be changed once it's called. So it has to be, that's according to the constitution of the CMA. One of the big things is actually to allow online attendance. So the constitution of the CMA can only be changed with a 2/3 majority within a meeting. So one of the items is specifically to allow for online attendance and voting at future meetings. So particularly at the AGM where new board members will be elected or re-elected, you know, which will then allow easy access. And that's not just for people outside of KZN, that or even for someone in Durban or something like that. There's significant time and expense to get up to Pietermaritzburg for a meeting. So it would just make sense that's on offer. So you can both in person and online. So that's one of the main items. Another one is specifically to ask for the resignation or the termination of two specific board members. So the one is Zinhle Sokela. So she is the lady who put out the racist WhatsApp message, and there's other cases of racism that have been reported, and nothing has been done about it. So specifically, she's refused to resign, even with the blatant evidence against her. The conjecture is that she essentially was being positioned as the future chair of the Comrades, which is probably why she's refusing to and holding on so tightly to it. The other person is a gentleman called Isaac Nguenya, who's implicated in all sorts of things covered inside my articles. Everything from, I mean, he's actually been referred to as a kleptomaniac by other members of the board, and not in a joking way either, but just literally helping himself to whatever's inside the office. His excuse is a sponsor's product. I understand it's not all sponsor's product, but even then, you don't just stock up your car with stuff from inside Comrade's house. But also, he's been head of the Community Marshals portfolio since its inception, has resisted any governance there. Lots of various things implicating him. And on top of that, he's also made some racist statements, just to put the cherry on the top. So basically, that's the other big one, is to look at that. Another item was to ask for specifically the reasons around Anne Ashworth's firing. That is, I guess, a bit, things have obviously changed since then. She's had an out-of-court settlement with the CCMA, but still the Comrades members deserve an explanation of exactly why her contract was terminated, because it seems to defy logic.
And presumably, if she was very good at her job, they would like her back as well. But I'm just trying to understand this from the perspective of governance in South Africa. We're seeing a lot has changed since the ANC went down to 40%, and now we have a government of national unity. We have new brooms sweeping clean, and one of the portfolios where there is a non-ANC member is in sport and Gayton McKenzie. If you had the chance to get Gayton McKenzie in a room for 5 minutes, how would you explain to him what is going on here? Because the way you've explained it to me, it looks like some guys who are lining their own pockets have hijacked the Comrades Marathon.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd probably go exactly that route and just say, so to be honest, he does seem to be a little bit of a wild card, and I think that's a fair comment to make. But I do think that at this stage he probably needs to get involved, because things are just going from the sublime to the ridiculous in terms of the lens that those in power are trying to cling onto it nefariously. I would just essentially say that I know that probably what I would do is I know Gayton was doing a bit of running and looking at doing a marathon. I think he's downgraded it, but maybe I'd say, listen, keep up the running, and if you want to do Comrades one day and have it being an event that's worthy of the status which it is now and continuing to be, I would consider it to be the greatest. It's definitely the greatest running event in South Africa. It's definitely the greatest ultra marathon in the world. Something needs to be done now. So, it's not the corruption and the mismanagement, fortunately, is not quite at the stage where it's irrevocable, but it's getting close. So something really needs to be done now to step in. The other thing I'd say is that this is not although the members of the compromised members of the board, they are trying to play the race card, because that's the only thing that they can do, because they cannot use logic or factual argument against it. But this is not a race issue. This is runners against administrators and compromised administrators who are doing things against the best interests of the sport and of the Comrades Marathon. If you go and look at online posts and things like that, you'll see across the color spectrum, all runners are aghast at this. I think runners are pretty unified in wanting change and wanting a Comrades board and probably a KwaZulu-Natal Athletics board that actually represents their best interests and is not corrupt and looking after their own self-interest.
Runners are generally upper income, or certainly we can't make a generalization, but there are a lot of upper income people who are runners, who are looking after their health. You would have thought then in a case like this, you'd have a lot of lawyers and perhaps investigators in amongst the group who are trying to expose this. Wouldn't that just be the easier way of doing it, is to get a Paul O'Sullivan onto the case, get him to expose what the board members are allegedly doing, lay a criminal charge, and that would be surely sufficient to eject them, rather than the process, which does seem a little convoluted?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a legal expert, so it's difficult to comment on that. I mean, the one thing I would say is that, yes, there are some people in the upper income, but running is a great leveler. And I mean, that's why the sport is just so phenomenal because I could be running the Comrades Marathon next to a multimillionaire CEO of a listed company and next to someone who's unemployed. That's the nature of it, and that's the great part of it. In fact, I know a couple of years ago, in the top 10, they used to list the top 10 professions. Unemployed was one of the top 10, and that's just people who are listing as unemployed, not partially employed, and so on. That is why the sport is actually so special. I think that it may. Hopefully, I'm still hopeful that by normal standard legal procedures in the SGM and the AGM, change can be brought about. Obviously, we've seen how KZNA are operating. They're trying to subvert the process and using dirty tricks to try and do that. I'm hoping the sanity will prevail. Obviously, if it doesn't, maybe that is the route. The route that needs to go. I mean, I know that there are a lot of lawyers and advocates and attorneys and so on who are runners and green number members. Who have offered and are offering their services. So, I mean, just as an example, Mark Leathers, who's the attorney who's taking the case to the High Court today, he's doing that pro bono, because he believes in Comrades, believes in the cause.
It's extraordinary how some people will not accept the facts until they are shoved into their faces. And perhaps that is what is required here. But I guess in another instance, if Gayton McKenzie, and by the way, he was a runner in his youth. I remember in his autobiography, The Choice, I remember clearly him saying that he was actually a pretty good runner in his youth. I guess he carried a little less muscle than he does today. So you might just get him onto the Comrades and involved there. But it is interesting that there is a process that is now going forward. And I guess also it's showing you that in South Africa, we are finally, as a nation, picking up and being responsible for ourselves and doing what is possible. And it does appear to me that this is what the Comrades participants, those who love the race so much, are doing right now. Have you seen a lot of support? Because you have done an enormous amount of work in this, in your research, in the articles that you've written. Are you seeing the support from the running community?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, and it is. I mean, and actually, I'm not a particularly emotional person, but I've got a few nice messages this morning when I posted an article about the High Court interdict that's happening, and a few messages of support. Yeah, it actually got a bit glossy eyed. So it has been a lot of hard work. I think the runners are united. And it's on the road we all won. We know what's wrong, right, ethical, and so on. Most of us just want to we want to run and enjoy it and hope the administrator is looking after the best interests of the sport. And when they aren't, people will be unified and up in arms about it. I think what would be great now is if this does go into wider media circles. I'm actually surprised it hasn't so far. This is one of the first interviews doing about it. So thanks very much to you, Alec, and Business for picking it up, because I do think it needs the right level of media attention to help to drive the change, and to put the spotlight on these people who are doing as you say, blatantly and brazenly wrong things, they may have some self-justification in their head or something like that, that they don't think that they're doing it wrong. But to anyone outside, it's absolutely blatant that what they're doing, well, they're up to no good.
Stuart, before you go, how many Comrades have you run?
I've done 10. I said 10 and done. So for I stuck to that. I said you get parole after 10. So I've done my 10. I've got my green number. Maybe the 100th running in 20 to 27, just do one in my green number. But I guess we'll have to see which board members are in place, in 3 years time.
Stuart Mann, known as the Running Man in his blog, and as you've heard, very passionate about the Comrades Marathon. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.